we are concluding our series we've been in for the month of December, God with us. And we've looked over times, and every week we've had this anchor verse. Anybody remember the anchor verse? Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in the series, as we began, just a quick recap, if you don't remember or you weren't here, in the very first week we said, God is with us in the valleys. And we learned that we may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valley. And then in the second week, we understood that God is with us in the wilderness. And our deepest need becomes a gift when it drives us to depend on God. You know, it's in those places where you didn't know what to do, where to turn to, and you just said, God, where are you? Then last week, and many of you were with us last week, and those of you didn't make our luncheon, we really missed you. But it's okay, we ate your share of the food, so your loss, our gain, in more ways than one. But last week we learned that God is with us always. That God could have shouted his love from heaven, instead he showed it to us on earth. He showed it to us by sending us his son in the form of a baby that we celebrate at Christmas. And this morning we look at God's presence is with us even in the storm. Even in the storm. Storms aren't fun, are they? Storms come into our lives, but they're not fun. Somebody once said, you're either coming out of a storm or you're in the middle of a storm, or your storm is around the corner. But either way in life, we're going to face storms. And it's not always fun. It's not something we look forward to, but it's something that we go through. And when we're faced with a storm, we kind of ask ourselves a question. Where is God when you're in the middle of the storm? When you're in the middle of the storm, where is the God that you believe in and the God that you call on? You know, sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of the storm, in the middle of pain, in the middle of hardship, in the middle of hard times. And most times we just want the storm to stop. I think most times, you know, you get up in the middle of the storm and you go, enough, I've had it. Get me off this ball, right? What do you do when you're in the middle of a storm? Some people blame God. God, this is all your fault. Like, God, it's all your fault. What are you doing? Sometimes we even question, God, do you care? God, do you even exist? That's how far a storm can drag us sometimes. When we know that God exists, but in the middle of the storm, we're beginning to question if we even know God exists. Often we want to know why. Why? Isn't that our favorite question? Why? Why? Why, God? Why are you doing this? Why is it happening to me? So here's a key thought I want you to grab today. It really capsulizes what I want you to take home, and it's a simple statement. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. If you forget everything, this is on, if you had YouVersion, this would be there, right up there. So write it down in your notes, right? Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. And with that idea of a storm, I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 27. If you have a Bible or a device, you want to scroll there. We're going to look at a few verses in a minute, but let me give you some background to Acts 27. Acts 27 is a story about Paul being taken prisoner and he's being sent to Rome. And the first part of chapter 27 is all about the journey. He was put into the care and the responsibility of a centurion soldier who was to take him to Rome where he was going to stand trial. History will tell us that later he stood trial and he was put to death as a result of the trial, basically, over a period of a few years, though. So he's being taken, and they're going from port to port as a group of people, as a centurion, and they end up in the city of Crete, a port city. And long, long story short, you'll read the first part of Acts 27. It's there. Go home and take a look at it. But they're about to get into a boat, and the centurion found this boat that was going towards Italy. It wasn't even going to make it there. They were going to have to winter somewhere. And Paul says to them before they get on the boat, don't get on the boat, because it's going to be a perilous journey. We're going to suffer great loss if you go on this journey. But the centurion said, the captain says we have to go. We need to go before winter hits. We're going to go now. And, you know, Paul is saying, don't do this. It's not going to end well. But they go. And they're in this journey. And once they head out to sea, we're told a hurricane force winds come and begin to batter the boat. And the winds are strong and the waves are high. And this storm lasts for days. The Bible tells us it lasts for days. It lasts for days. It was so bad that the crew was terrified for their lives. Seasoned sailors who sail the oceans, who do it for their living and their livelihood, they are frightened by this storm. They begin to throw cargo overboard to try and lighten the load, and they're still frightened, and the storm is raging, and it's days and days, and they gave up hope. And that's where we're going to pick up the story right there. I'll show you that in verse 20. So Acts 27, verse 20 says this. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Here they are. It's the middle of the storm. They gave up hope. It's been raging for days. Are you facing a storm today and you feel like it won't stop and you want to give up? Is that you this morning? Are you in the middle of the storm and your only cry most days is, God, stop it? You're in the middle of the storm. It's been raging for days. Everything is black and dark and dreary and windy and wavy and scary and terrified. And you don't know what to do. You've lost or losing hope. You say to yourself, there's no way out of this financial debt. I can't overcome this sickness. There's no way our marriage is going to make it through this turmoil. Am I going to be stuck alone the rest of my life? I'm not able to have any children. Why? I can't afford to complete my education. I'm broke and in debt. Are you at a place where maybe you've given up all the hope that you think you could muster? And I say to you this morning, hang on. Hang on, because you're in the middle of the storm. Things are darkest in the middle of the storm. Things are the most hopeless in the middle of the storm. But the thing that you need to understand is you're in the middle of the storm. And just as you got into the middle of the storm, you will get out of the middle of the storm. You've just got to hold on a little bit longer. You just got to hope a little bit longer. You just got to hang on a little bit harder. And I'll show you why. Verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, are you ready for this? Men, you should have taken my advice and not set sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and this loss. This is a horrible verse. It's a part of the story. It's important. But really, it's a horrible verse. Think about it. You're the sailor on that ship in the middle of the storm that's been raging for days. You're frightful. You're hopeless. You're thrown cargo away. And Paul stands up and basically says, I told you so. Don't we hate people who say, I told you so? Don't we hate when somebody says, I told you so? We hate it probably because A, they're right. And B, we don't need to care that they were right now. But that's what Paul's doing. Here's a bunch of sailors frightened for their lives, and he says, told you so. Now, if I were the sailor, I'd want to throw Paul off the boat. But they don't do that. He's not Jonah, he's Paul. So number one, don't be an I told you so kind of person. There's ways to help. Be the helpful kind of person. Be the person who says, I know you're in the middle of the storm. Let me be an anchor for you. And just mumble to yourself, I told them. Okay, you don't have to tell them. When they're out of the storm, you can remind them about the good counsel that they ignored. But not in the middle of the storm. And here's the second thing I notice in that statement. Paul didn't do anything, but he ended up in the middle of the storm. Paul didn't do anything wrong, but he ends up in the middle of the storm. He knew not to go, but those above him who had command of him, the centurion and the captain of the ship, said, let's go. He had no choice. He was dragged along, and in being dragged along, through no fault of his own, he ends up in the middle of the storm. So let me say this to you. If you find yourself in the middle of a storm today, it may be nothing to do with anything you've done. You could have been dragged along by somebody else's decision. Your job is in jeopardy because your company didn't run well and they're closing down or they're downsizing. You may be having a hard time in school because, you know, your profs didn't really have a grasp on the material they were supposed to teach and didn't teach you properly, and you're in the middle of a storm. A relationship is going south, and there's turmoil maybe between parents and children or siblings or husbands and wives. There's turmoil. You may just be dragged to the middle of a storm. Just remember, just because you're in the middle of a storm doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Sometimes storms just happen in life. Verse 22, Paul continues, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Here Paul kind of gives us a word from God. Here's a word from God for those of you this morning who might be in the storm. Here's what Paul says, keep up your courage. Keep up your courage. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Hold on. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw yourself off the boat. Verse 23. It says, last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. What a statement of faith. Paul is saying that even in the middle of a fierce storm, in the middle of impending doom, in the middle of worrying for his life, in the middle of fear and doubt, in the middle of the storm, God shows up. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of fear, God shows up. In the middle of not knowing what to do, God shows up. Now let me say this. If you're a follower of Jesus, what I mean is if you've recognized in your life that there's a need for forgiveness of sin, if you've realized somewhere in the past that you are a sinner, and you recognize that Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins. And once upon a time you said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I want to walk for you. I want to live for you, sorry. I want to walk in your way. I want obedient to the teachings of Jesus and the Bible. Help me to do that. If you've done that, you're a follower of Jesus. And here's the great part. Because you're a follower of Jesus, God is with you. Because you're a follower of Jesus, God is with you. His presence never leaves you. Because you're a follower of Jesus, he hears the cries of your heart. He comforts you in your hurts. He reassures you in your fears. He directs you when you're lost. You have no idea of the different ways that God is at work behind the scenes, working on your behalf, because you're a follower of Jesus. You're a child of God. And God says, I am with you always. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Even the darkest moment, even the darkest hour, even in the scariest days, He is with you. And whatever you might be facing right now, I want you to know, if you're in the middle of your storm, God has not deserted you. It's against God's nature to desert you. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. Don't always judge your feelings as true, but trust the word of God as true. That God is giving you strength, that God is your hope, if you would be willing to trust Him. See, when you realize that God is on your side, when you realize that God is with you, even in the middle of the storm, even when fear comes, there's a reassurance that says, I know God is with me. Something happens in our mindset when we realize that we're not alone and that God is with us. Something happens. Our faith is built up. Our mind is changed. See, when you realize that God is with you, it changes the way you ride out the storm. Real peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. He is with you. He never leaves you. He's right beside you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always with you. And so we pick up the story again at verse 23. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, here's what God says to him. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. God is making a statement to Paul and to those with him. They will not die in this storm. This storm will not take them down. This storm will not take them out. This storm will not destroy them. This storm will not capture them. This storm is just a storm, a horrible storm that they're going to have to ride through. And God says, I guarantee you will arrive in Rome and everybody on the ship is going to be safe. Maybe somebody needs to hear this morning. Your storm will not be your end. Your storm will not be your end. God has more for you to do. God is not finished writing your story. God is not finished with what He wants you to do and accomplish. That God knows exactly where you are today. Even if you feel confused, even if you're not sure, that God knows exactly where you are, and He's telling you, this storm will not be your end. I have more for you to do. You see, your storm did not surprise God. There are times we wake up in the morning and things happen to us in the day, and we go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. You get a doctor's report and you're saying, I really was going to hope that's not what you were going to tell me. Wow. And for a moment we think, because we're surprised, God's surprised. And the reality is, God says, I saw this storm way before you ever knew there was a storm. God says, you're going through a storm, but I'm not caught off guard by it. And God could use the storm for His glory. God could bring purpose out of the storm that you're going through. See, God will use what you learn in your storm to help someone through theirs later on. The things that you're going to learn and glean in the middle of your storm, the things that you are going to be taught by the Spirit of God, the things that God is going to show you as you go through your storm, when He gets you through the other side, there's going to be a day where you can say to somebody, I understand your storm. Here is what God did for me. Here is how you can trust God through your storm. God uses the experiences of our lives. God uses the things that we go through so that when he brings us through, we become a blessing to somebody else. One day, you will be able to speak life to somebody else who's in the middle of their darkest days. One day, you'll be able to share hope for somebody when they're in the middle of their most hopeless times of their life. God is going to bring you through your storm so you could be a blessing to somebody else in their storm. In the middle of the storm, you're going to find that God does some things in your life. Often in the middle of the storm, we learn even deeper intimacy with God. The storms cause us to grow spiritually. They stretch us. They stretch our faith. They stretch our hope. They teach us what it is to hold on to who God really is when we are in the midst of some of our darkest hours. In the middle of the storm, God forms our character and he helps us to develop. In the middle of the storm, we learn to trust God more and more and more. In the middle of the storm, your faith grows. So yes, storms could be treacherous. Storms could be awful. Storms could be scary and dark. But in the midst of the storm, God does not leave you alone. God says, I'm riding the storm out with you. Verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God so that it will happen just as he told me. There's that phrase again. Keep up your courage, for I have faith in God. Keep up your courage, for I have faith in God. Paul is saying, man, I am telling you that it will happen because God said it will happen. I have faith that because God said he would do it, he will do it. Don't worry. None of us is going to die. We're going to lose the ship. And it happens. The ship is destroyed. But the end of the story is not one person lost their life. And so this is what Paul is saying. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. Say that again. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. Here's the reality. You can't control when a storm blows in. You can't control how severe a storm will be. You can't control how long a storm will last. You can't control what people will say about you. You can't control what people will do to you. But here's what you can control. You can control what you believe. You can control who you believe in. You can control where you place your faith. Your faith needs to be in the one who controls the winds and the waves, not the one who builds the boat. Trust him who controls the storms. Once again, remember this. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Worship team, would you come back, please? Would you stand with me? Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. In the middle of the storm, he is by your side. In the middle of the storm, he is with you. Who is he? He is Emmanuel, God with us. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is your strength. He is your comforter. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is your peace. Remember, peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. The virgin will be with child and will conceive and give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in who God is. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. If you would just close your eyes and bow your heads. How many today would say, Pastor, I know somebody who's going through a storm right now. Or better yet, Pastor, I'm going through a storm right now. Pastor, I need the presence of God. I need the peace of Jesus. I need to know that Jesus is my anchor in the storm. I need to know that Jesus is in control of my situation. Even if I don't feel it, Pastor, that's me. If that's you, would just lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Just lift your hands. Hold them up. Father, we just come to you this morning.